your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday, July 21st edition of Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're your team every day. This is a daily podcast where we talk about all things Florida Panthers. I'm Armando Velez from PantherParkway.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. You can follow the show account on Twitter at LO_FLAPanthers. You can follow the national show, Locked On NHL, and the Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. Will they be covering the expansion draft, the NHL entry draft, and all of free agency? And today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join me during the expansion draft when the Seattle Kraken make their pick from the Florida Panthers, which will be number 21st in the expansion draft. So join me on Spotify Green Room Wednesday night as I'll be discussing the Panthers pick from the Seattle Kraken. And this is a special episode today that we got here. It's official. The 32nd team in the National Hockey League, the Seattle Kraken, will officially have a team in place. And with this being a 32nd team, we might not see an expansion for a while, because before the 2017 expansion with the Vegas Golden Knights, there wasn't an expansion for 17 years in the National Hockey League. So if there is an expansion again for the National Hockey League, it is going to be a while. So Florida Panther fans, hockey fans, let's enjoy this, because this is a great opportunity to grow this great sport and this great league. And today I have on my guest to talk about tonight's expansion draft is from the Hockey News, Aaron Brown. Aaron, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. I'm very thankful to have you on. Like I said before we started recording this, I've been following your tweets and your Twitter for quite a few years now, and it's great to be face-to-face, at least through a computer screen, talking about Florida Panthers and the National Hockey League.
Yeah, like I said, I tend to hide. I hide behind words, so try to make those words impactful.
Yeah, everyone has their own style on how they go about with their individual coverages. So it's all about one's comfort level, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So because this is your first time on the Locked On Panthers, at least with me as the host of the show, I want to get your thoughts on the Florida Panthers on this season. What were your thoughts about what this season was prior to the Panther season in 2021 versus what actually went down? What were your expectations and what were your overall views of the team?
To be very honest, when we started out, I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. I didn't think they were going to be top four. I think they, I thought at the time, okay, they're looking at kind of a bubble team. Tampa is in that division. Tampa was in the division, Carolina. I expected a lot more of Dallas. Same with Columbus, and maybe Nashville. And it just didn't happen. And I think what was the difference maker was just the infusion of, I'll just call it attitude. That was something that the year prior, just that was lacking to me, was just like that physicality, the grit. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, they have all this skill. You got to balance that out. And I think we saw that this year, how much of a difference, not just having, say, like a Carter Verhaeghe, obviously he was fantastic, but how much Hornquist meant to that team, how much Gudas meant to that team. And they needed that. And they were lacking it. And I think, I don't know if there was a specific spot during the season where I thought, oh, this is special. But it was very, very clear to me that this was one of the best teams that they have ever fielded. So, so I'll eat crow on that. Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to do as well as they did. And they did fantastic. They definitely, I think, exceeded expectations, and, I wish them luck, because now I think there's going to be even more pressure, and it will be very interesting to see how they respond. But I have reason to think it will be, they will respond. Maybe there will be some more adversity. I don't think it's going to go as smoothly as it did for them this past year. But I think that that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. And there just came a point in the season where there was so much separation, and it was just three teams battling for the top. And it was just the fourth and then the rest under the playoff line. And I'm not saying that the Florida Panthers went on autopilot, but emotionally, knowing that they created that separation, it's like, okay, they're a playoff team. So mentally, as a fan, I was thinking, okay, they're a playoff team. They just need to stay the course, just need to keep controlling their play, and they were going to make it. And they clinched the playoff spot with like a week and a half to go. So in the season. So that gave them that room to get guys healthy, get players right before that first round series against Tampa.
Yeah, absolutely. I think hindsight's 2020, right? Mm-hmm. I think those last couple games against Tampa, you know, it was kind of a grit your teeth. What do you do here? Because you knew they were going to play Tampa. You didn't know who was mm-hmm. going to have home ice. The only thing that I was really surprised after they clinched that spot, and it became very apparent they were not going to win either the division or the President's Cup. I probably should reverse those two. I really thought there was going to be more of a, and there was to a degree, but more of a, let's get some of the kids more, you know, ice time, you know, just more play, just kind of get them primed for the potential situation that, okay, if someone important goes down, you're not going to have, say, like a Hepo Niemi coming off the bench after not having played for like 4 weeks, you know, someone who can just jump in and feel like he's still part of that synergy. So that was the only thing that surprised me, I think, going into the playoffs. But, there were a lot of nights where I was sitting there saying, they're already in. What am I, you know, what am I keeping track of tonight? They're in, you know, which is, I think, having not just covered the team for a long time, but followed the team for a long time. And maybe a lot of you out there agree with it. It was a very odd feeling, because how many times has this team been just, you know, you're gritting your teeth for that eighth spot, maybe the seventh spot. You know, even when they get in, with the exception of, you know, 2015, 2016, you're gritting your teeth like, oh, are they going to get home ice? Is this even possible? And it was just, you know, it literally comes down to the last week of the season for this team usually. And to have that 3 weeks of, oh, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly strange.
And I remember in Bob Bugsner's first season as the head coach of the Panthers, I remember there was a game that was snowed out, a game against Boston, because there was a big mm-hmm. snowstorm that went into the Massachusetts area. So that game happened to be on the Sunday after everyone else was playing. So, but the day before, the Philadelphia Flyers defeated the New York Rangers to clinch their spot in the postseason. So that game the very next day felt irrelevant, but I still watched it. They won, they beat the Boston Bruins on the road.
Yeah.
Then you see, man, they finished with 96 points, and they, I believe, that is the record for a playoff team to not make it, with the most points a team has had. And you just feel it's oh so close. And that has been a lot of the feeling in the last few years before this season. And this season, we kind of had that great feeling. And I said at the time, in the last regular season series against Tampa, that home ice meant more to the Florida Panthers than it did the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I believe a lot of people agree with that. And we saw what the Tampa Bay Lightning did. They didn't have home ice in either the first two rounds, but they did end up getting home ice in the last two rounds. So
yeah,
crazy what happens with a great team like Tampa Bay. But with the Florida Panthers, they're going back to a regular season schedule next year, at least from what I'm assuming, with Canadian borders opening up. We get to see what this team has really got against the rest of the league. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge for this team.
You know what? The division, it's funny because when you look at the division, they're going to go back. This year, they ended up entering into the division with the last two Stanley Cup finalists. Well, in terms of Tampa Bay and Dallas. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh my gosh, okay, they're playing the last two teams who fought for the Stanley Cup. They're doing the same thing next year too. Yes. You know, so in a way, I don't know. Is it bad? Is it bad or good? Like, they're going to lose Carolina, but they're going to get like a Boston, you know? So it'll be really interesting to see. I, in a way, I think that plays to their advantage, that they just look at it and say, we did that already. You know, we've done that. We've been there. That's not something we have to even think about, because look at what the results were. So Oh, and then the Leafs. Well, you know what? They probably wish they were going to be in the Central next year.
For sure.
Yeah, that is easily going to be, that's going to be the toughest division. You're going to have Leafs, Boston, Montreal.
It's going
to
be fun.
Tampa Bay, Florida.
I don't know how to view Montreal now with all the drama that's going on with that franchise, with Shea Weber might not play next year. Carey Price, the whole Carey Price situation, they exposed him.
I know we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, they exposed him in the expansion draft to protect Jake Allen. Now there's reports about injuries, and I don't think the Seattle Kraken end up taking him because of the contract, the age, and I think everything that I've heard about the Seattle Kraken, they want to develop. I think the Vegas Golden Knights situation might be a one-off when it comes to a team that has instant success, making it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. But I just don't know how to predict Montreal going into the season. That one is a very confusing one. They could either repeat the same thing that they did last year, where they have a mediocre season and make it all the way, or they could just fall out of the playoffs in general. So that's. Montreal can go either way next year.
Yeah, that I'm not ready to predict on Montreal just yet. I don't think anybody, when you look at the standings and you look at the records, if you had broken it down east-west, you know what the traditional season would have been like, Montreal wouldn't have even made the playoffs. I think they were outside of the top 16, period. So I don't know.
18.
Yeah, they were 18th. Yeah. So the fact that like they got in, they had to think, we're playing with house money. Let's not think about this. And I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I don't think that can be easily repeated next year. Like, you're going to have to, you know, get in on merit. You're going to have to be that top 16 team. So, and like you said, you know, there are injury concerns, Carey Price. We have to see how that plays out. And you know what? I would even say let's see their first 10 games.
I agree.
You know, because as awesome as Price was during the postseason, the kids were phenomenal too. So, you know, maybe we'll get a real sense of what was behind this exactly. You know, what was really the driving force and what will be the driving force moving forward.
Absolutely. And when it comes to, and again, I don't think the Kraken will end up taking Carey Price in the expansion draft. So I think the Montreal Canadiens, I think they planned this out very well when it comes to the goalie situation there.
This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Panthers throughout the Stanley Cup Final, the buyout period, free agency, the expansion draft, and the NHL entry draft. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the NHL. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have the chance to chat with me, and you'll have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Panthers podcast through our Green Room conversation. Go to download the Green Room app, currently available on iOS and Android devices. Be sure to create your profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice. Follow me at @LO_FLAPanthers when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Florida Panthers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Let me tell you more about Built Bar, the world's best tasting protein bar. Have you ever heard of the new limited time Built Bar Grasshopper Cookie? What does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic thin mint cookie. All the flavors without all that sugar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. And did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, then you're missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite flavor of this one is cookies and cream because you can never go wrong with cookies and cream anything. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box and you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Check out the macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein for each bar, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. How great is that? All amazing flavors, all tasty and healthy. Order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. For this offer, go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 at built.com.
And speaking of the expansion draft, the Florida Panthers, they released their list. But before we get to the list, I want to think of the mindset and I want to think of the situation that the Florida Panthers find themselves in this time around. And a lot of this, at least on the national scale, a lot of things have been circled back to the Florida Panthers on why the Vegas Golden Knights were as successful as they were. And a lot of it had to do with the whole pick exposing Jonathan Marchessault in the expansion draft and then the trade with Riley Smith for a 4th round pick to Vegas and pretty much a top 6 forward group with Vegas. And it circles back to the Florida Panthers, but this time around, it doesn't seem like it's going to hurt the Panthers this time around. It seems that, and I described this on the podcast, I've described this in a Panther Parkway article, that if a player is chosen, and we'll get to a few reports in a little bit about who it will be, that whoever, regardless of who it's taken, it feel like it'd be a small dent in a car versus a totaled car in this.
I completely agree.
And when it comes to who you thought would have been on the list, who and versus what actually came out on Saturday, how did you think the list was going to come out versus what the list actually came out to be?
So I was, so first of all, anyone who does follow me on Twitter at Rinkside, I do have to apologize. I butchered something when I was going through my own kind of scenarios of who stays, who goes, or I should say who's protected, who's unprotected. Mainly because the games, I was going strictly off the Vegas rules, kind of forgetting, yes, we did not have 82 games in a season that's going to be prorated. So when I was going through, the problem I kept seeing with, okay, how do you make this work to not, like you said, kind of have more of a fender bender as opposed to totaling the car, you know, what do you have to do to make this happen? To be very honest, I kept thinking Hornquist was going to be one that would be left exposed because he's 34 at this point. His contract or his cap hits $5.3 million. And it's not that that's necessarily a bad thing for Florida. I think they got value big time out of him last year. It's just one of those contracts. He's really more of a top nine guy. He's not like a top, you know, top three. That's not a guarantee in any stretch of the season. He's not necessarily top six at points in the season. So I would say like a top nine guy. I don't know that Seattle would want to grab a $5.3 million contract on a 34-year-old who's maybe a top line guy, you know, but probably fits in that top nine. So that was, I think, the biggest surprise for me. The other thing where I kind of got crossed up was I was under the belief, based on old rules, that Marchment and Lomberg could not be exposed. They can be exposed. They did meet the game's requirements. That being said, I was thinking, okay, is it Achari? Is it Vetrano? Because there was a requirement that teams had to expose basically a veteran player, someone who was going to be under contract next season and had met a certain games requirement. And it just kept coming back to like a Hornquist, Vetrano, Achari. Those were the guys who kept, you know, coming up for me. So Hornquist, I think, was the biggest one. I felt that the contract and the age seemed a little off limits, that Seattle might not go after that. So why not expose him?
Yeah. And with the play, and we kind of start to see why Pittsburgh wanted to trade him, because of the play declining there. And then I was thinking at the time when the trade was made, why would they get rid of Hornquist? That he was a big contributor to their two Stanley Cup back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of Hornquist's play, great play, was mostly because of pucks being bounced off right in front of the net. And that a lot had to do with Aaron Ekblad, especially mm-hmm. on the power play. And when Aaron Ekblad went out, so did Patrick Hornquist's play. A lot of the play went out the window for Patrick Hornquist. And also the injuries. Patrick mm-hmm. Hornquist's injury history is just not the best. And one of my guests on the show, Tom McLean from Panther Parkway, he said it like this. He could be one injury away from never playing again.
And I'm not a doctor, so I have no clue.
He could be. Yeah, I'm not a doctor neither, but based on the amount of concussions Hornquist has had, and I've had one. I don't know if you've ever had
one. Yeah, I've had one. Yes, I've had at least one that I know of.
Yeah, and they're not fun. I did not have a good time when I was concussed. And imagine going through that six times.
Yeah, no, thank you. So, no, thank you. But yeah, I think with Hornquist though, this is something, you know, I tweeted out that it just, the fact that they protected him, he is clearly a guy who has been a big factor in that locker room. Mm-hmm. Just the attitude, the drive, you know, the willingness to get beaten up, you know, that's another thing I would say some of the previous teams they just did not have that. I don't care what enforcer you put on the ice, guys have to kind of step up and, you know, try to show a little bit more toughness. So to me, the fact that they did protect him and the fact that, you know, you laid out all the risks there, right? If you're Seattle, maybe not. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks volumes as far as how important he is in that locker room. Mm-hmm. And you figure it took that long to get a player like that in the locker room again. I think certain other people were like that, but were traded away. So again, it was a little bit of a surprise to me that they protected him. But then when, you know, you sit down and you think about it after the fact, you go, no, it completely makes sense why they wouldn't do that. And I think it probably, you know, I've been an athlete too. Sometimes something like that happens and it's fuel for you. So even though you're already probably getting like 99% out of Hornquist, you know, maybe even, you know, he's going to push because he feels wanted, you know, they protected him. That means a lot.
Yeah. And I wrote about this in that same article, that this is a time where sometimes players during this time, I'm sure a lot of players feel insulted during this time about not being protected, about their value, their worth. And, you know, I tell people ego is just a part of you, and players have egos. Everyone has one. And I can only imagine how many players, even if they're not picked, that they, or even if they are picked by Seattle and their team don't want them, that they could come the very next year with a vengeance, and they could definitely motivate them to be better.
Oh, absolutely. I think you see that with expansion teams a lot. I mean, even though, you know, Vegas had fantastic players to choose from, and everyone kind of knows, oh, that expansion draft, you know, set them up quite well. They still, I think, probably had a chip on their shoulder, and look at how far it took them. They had the talent and the chip. You know, we saw it here in Florida when Florida happened. A lot of those guys said, you know, we were all outcasts and we wanted to prove people wrong. So, I think it's just part of the process, you know, as far as the expansion process. But I don't know necessarily that anyone specifically on the exposed list for Florida. I don't know if anyone would be like, oh, they didn't want me. You know, I think after last year, I think everyone knows, you know, the word that kind of came out after the season ended was there's a lot of camaraderie among those guys. So I don't think anyone felt like, oh, I'm not wanted. I'm sure the Panthers would like to have Chris Drieger back if he would sign there, but I don't think he would be a guy that you'd feel, oh, they didn't want me. No, I think they would want him back. It just, the situation is what it is. Someone's going to get selected. People are going to be free agents. It's the business of it. So
absolutely. And before that Chris Drieger report of him being the reported pick for the Seattle Kraken, the pieces, at least the protection pieces, were starting to pull together. The puzzle, you could put them like a puzzle. And that happened, of course, with the Yandle buyout and the extensions of Forsling and Duclair. What was your initial reaction when, first of all, Yandle wasn't asked to waive his no movement clause? And then what was your reaction when the buyout became official?
So I think buyout was kind of a worst case scenario, simply because of that cap hit in not this coming season, but the season following. That's massive. They're gonna lose 6.4 at least, because they still have Darling. They'll have Yandle. So that's, you know, 6.4 million. Is the cap gonna go up? No idea. But there are also some really big names that are going to be re-signed, Barkov being number one. And my prediction, he is at minimum going to be a $10 million cap hit. I think it might be more. Obviously, he's deserving. He should get the full contract, whatever. You know, he'll get the full length.
Give him what he wants.
Yeah, I can't see any reason why it is not going to be the max, right? So that's a factor. And the fact that you cannot have $6 million of the cap because you bought out players. And I realize that Yandle was at times seeming like he couldn't keep up with his own team, which is not good. I get that. But I do wonder if, and I don't have the inside on any of this, but I wonder how much the games streak would have started to play into this if he were going to be benched. Would he then say, yeah, I don't care, trade me to last place, trade me to Ottawa. I want to keep the streak going, right? Not that Ottawa had any interest. I was just trying to think of the worst team or one of the worst teams. You know what I mean? So I wonder if that would have been a card to play. But you think of that too. I'm always one that thinks all sides of things. Would that have brought some sort of like negative atmosphere in the locker room? That is not something they want to be messing with right now. So not the best situation to have to buy him out. You know, it is what it is. I don't make those decisions, but you know, I think that that would have been a big weight on their neck going into the season, the off season even. So you know what? Now it's just a matter of being really clever in how they're going to prepare for not necessarily this season, but next season. How are they going to get Barkov under? How are they going to get Barkov signed to a massive deal? And remember, Huberto is going to be the season after that. So start thinking about that now, and you better hope your kids are really, really good, because I think they're going to have to lose some players in that process.
And I discussed this on the show that a lot of contracts will be expiring, like Frank Vetrano, Noel Achari, Mason Marchment, Ryan Lomberg, Strawman, there's rumors about a possible trade to Arizona last time I checked, about three days ago, there was discussions between the Coyotes and the Panthers. Hey, maybe that brings Connor Garland into the mix for the Florida Panthers. But as of this moment in time, for an 81.5 salary cap, if you were to give Barkov 10, minimum 10, it'd be 56. So my way of thinking would probably be next season would be probably a few one-year deals to bring in players for veterans who might want to go in all in one season and just go that. And they went into this offseason with $13 million in cap space before Yanda was even bought out in the first place. So I was thinking, with all what Bill Zito has been able to do, especially getting rid of the contract of Mike Matheson last offseason.
That was a miracle. I didn't see how that was ever going to get moved.
Yeah. I just think of it like that. And I just think the fan base has gained trust in Zito, and even people outside of the Florida Panthers organization sees what's going on here. And it's like, wow, this guy has found many ways to just circle around the cap through the trade of Matheson. And I think and with Huberto not having to sign until the next season, that is also another great situation for the Panthers, that they don't have to necessarily pay Huberto right then and there. They could extend them, but that money doesn't have to kick in until after the fact.
Yeah, it's still something they have to kind of be careful about, because obviously you don't want to be signing too many long-term deals. I don't think that's going to happen, and I have a feeling that you know, the style, like, you know, GMs, I don't think a lot of people think about this, but you know, GMs have styles, and we kind of knew some of Dale's styles. Dale Talon, he would spend money in the off season. If he were permitted, he would never trade a number one pick. He would be active at the deadline if they were contending. He would not trade away top talent. So these are things that we kind of learn over time, right? We've got 1 year of sample size with Zito, but I think what's good about what we've seen already is he likes to mine for the gems. You know, like Wenberg, like Duclair, guys who are in these weird situations, or just, you know, I guess everyone was in a weird situation last year, but it, you know, compounded for some of these guys, like especially like a guy like Duclair, he's just trying to find a spot to play. They sign 1 year deals, they have great seasons. And, you know, in Duclair's case, we see he gets rewarded pretty nicely. So I think that's one thing right now we can take away from, we'll just say patterns, right? Guys who maybe are just looking for that fresh start, guys who can have a short contract. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You're only on the hook for a year. So it'll be interesting to see. That said, you know, that he has that ability. Now, when you have to sign two guys to massive cap hits, that's going to come into play. So maybe there will be, you know, some roster change here and there among those kind of journeyman kind of guys. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's good to kind of keep some fluidity on the team. So when you need to make a change, you're not stuck. You know, you know the guys who really are deserving, the Barkovs, the Huberdos. But when you need that, you know, third line, you know, left wing, you're not locked in, or that fourth defenseman, you're not locked in to this massive Matheson type contract with the inability to move them.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for bonuses, and contests information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
I think of like the contending teams that with their cap situations versus the teams that are rebuilding, and the Florida Panthers can, at this point, they could really work around it as well. And I've been looking at a lot of the contracts of like teams like the New York Islanders, who they made it to a game seven of the conference finals, but they still got to clear a little bit just to run it back. Even though they're going to bring Anders Lee back into the mix, I think of the Vegas Golden Knights. At one point this season, couldn't even dress their a full team because of caps, the cap situation. So the Florida Panthers really find themselves in a spot that they can really control their future if they lay their cards right. And with their situation now, they can the Yandel contract, you know, it's going to hurt next year.
Yeah, but then once you get past that,
yes,
it's not unmanageable. Darling will be off the books. I think Yandel comes down to about $1 million. So it's just that specific, you know, just 2022, 2023. Mm-hmm. That's just going to be a real grit your teeth. But, maybe their system turns out okay. You know, Anton Lundell, Spencer Knight, these are guys who are on, you know, bargain basement contracts. I mean, granted, they're entry level, they're high, you know, but compared to a $10 million cap hit, you might get a lot of quality talent for a low price. And then once you get past that, and those guys are going to eventually come due for their next contracts, now you have the room to work. But it's just that 1 year. And I think the reason I bring this up, you know, that 1 year, why is, you know, people are like, yeah, but we got rid of Yandel, you know, not a big deal. Okay. Think back to, I guess it would be 2018, 2019, where Barkov and Huberdeau had those awesome years, and they just didn't have the exact right pieces around them. And everyone said they just wasted two phenomenal years. They didn't even make the playoffs. The concern I think that's worth having when you have a deficit of $6 million on your cap, you know, you have dead weight on your cap. Is that what's going to, are they going to come up? Are they going to keep climbing? And then they hit this point where they say, we know exactly what we need. We know exactly what we want to get. We don't have the money. We don't have the cap space. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, you know, it might not matter at all in the end, but it's just a kind of, are we watching a collision course here or not? So it will be very, very interesting to see, but I'm a little grit my teeth on that.
And their prime is here. Barkov, Huberto, and Ekblad, they're here. So that's the time to really take advantage of the situation. And Bill Zito knows that. Coach Q knows that. I mean, Coach Q wouldn't even be here if he didn't know that that was the situation.
Yeah.
So on Saturday, it was reported by Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic that Chris Drieger is reportedly going to be the pick for the Seattle Kraken for the Florida Panthers. Okay, that was one reporter. And then yesterday, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet said that the Seattle Kraken are ready to offer Chris Drieger a three-year, $3.5 million contract, which will make him the pick. So I am inclined to believe those reports and say, okay, Chris Drieger is going to be the pick. No harm, no foul for the Florida Panthers. But we got to think worst case scenario, right? What if the Chris Drieger happens to not be the pick for the Florida Panthers in the expansion draft? If that is the case, who do you think would be the pick for the Seattle Kraken from the Florida Panthers?
You know what? It's tough to say simply because I know Seattle has talked about wanting to develop. However, you know, what is the makeup of their team? Are they, I would not doubt one bit that they are gaming multiple scenarios. Like do we go like very goaltending heavy, very defense heavy? Do we go offense heavy? Do you know what I mean? And that's obviously going to change pick to pick. Right. So if I would say, if I were building this team, there are three guys that stand out to me that I think would be good pickups, also good contract wise. One being Noel Achari. I think he has shown his value. He's been a bargain for Florida, given them what he
1.6 million.
That is a bargain. Like he is definitely worthy of more given what he has done. Not just defensively. I mean, he's phenomenal defensively, but we see too, hey, you put him with guys who can get him the puck or, you know, just include him in very high level offense. He can slide in there. Right. This was a guy who I don't think hit double digits at all in his professional career. I think you have to go back to even like his high school or, you know, just way before he turned pro, before he had double digits in goals, and he had what, 20 last year? So and even what turned out to be a shortened season. So that's he would be, I think, a phenomenal guy. I think he just and especially from a development standpoint, if you're trying to bring in kids, I think he is a really good role model type in terms of his style of play. Another guy I would consider would be Vetrano, because he's someone that is maybe not as he's kind of a little bit in the opposite of Achari, in that he can be a defensive guy. He can, you know, bang when he needs to, but he's also very talented just scoring. He's Frank the Tank. So those are two guys I would feel pretty good about. And again, depending on what kind of style I think of defense, if it were a more defensive style, I think, you know, Gudas has definitely shown his value. You know, the fact that that's the kind of player Florida had been missing for so long. You know, I always say like the Gabranson type, basically. You just need that. You need that in your lineup. I think he would be another.